And Then by J.H. Johns. And then, after a few hours, my soul and spirit, my heart and mind had seen enough. And then I turned toward home with my small cash under my arm. Yet all the time that I walked to Penn Station, stood and waited, sat on the train, stared out the window, I knew I was not alone. They were with me. He was with me. David Rimington, though he chose to be silent. Back at home, I found a place for him in a postal Tyvek envelope, placed him on a shelf, and then I waited. Waited for the next attack. Waited for the trains, the buildings, the stations to explode. While I avoided the tunnels and tried not to get stuck on the bridges, and then, as I waited, time passed. But still, I thought about him, and then I waited some more. Days turned into months, which turned into seasons, which turned into years. Yet every now and then, I would open the envelope and take out his card, take him out. We would visit, talk briefly, and then he was returned to his home, until the next time. And then, many years later, he called to me. His voice was soft and slowly rising until I could make out what he was saying. "And now, what? What are you waiting for?" I ignored him at first, telling myself that he was just frustrated from being cooped up in my mind and in my memories. So I put him back on the shelf, covering him with books and papers. But this just made him angry. Yes, angry, bordering on hostile intent, threatening intents to keep me awake at night, to distract me, to question what right I had not to seek the answer to what just might be an unpleasant truth. And then I relented. 7 years later, looked up the foundation and called. I told them the bizarre tale of David Rimington's business card and asked them to tell me what happened to him on 9/11? He survived, they said. That day, he had a meeting in the suburbs. Okay, I said. Thank you. And then I hung up the phone. And then I put the three of them to rest. His card, my memory, his mortality. And then I was done.